Sign and run to your safe space, said no founding father ever. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Our forebears came not for gold, but mainly in search of God and the freedom to worship in their own way. We've been a free people living under the law with faith in our Maker and in our future. I've said before that the most sublime picture in American history is of George Washington on his knees in the snow at Valley Forge. That image personifies a people who know that it's not enough to depend on our own courage and goodness. We must also seek help from God, our Father and Preserver.
Great words. Happy Constitution Day to you. This is the Kate Daly Show. So glad you're tuned in. You can go to katedalyradio.com for podcasts. That's recordings of this live show that you can share. And also, you can email me, kate at katedalyradio.com. You can also email Uncle Milty, Uncle Milty at katedalyradio.com. That's how easy that is. And, of course, on Twitter, it's The Kate Daly Show. On Facebook, it's The Kate Daly Show. You can get a hold of us any way you want. Make sure you're getting over to the website. You'll see a picture that says Balance of Nature on it. Make sure that you are clicking on that and ordering up for you and your family and making sure that you're getting that great supplement. There's no other supplement like it, and it is absolutely clean, nothing in it except what it says. And I just love a product like that. You're getting exactly what you think you're getting, and that is fruits and vegetables dehydrated down into pill form that you can take every day and get all of those added nutrients. It really is a fantastic product. It comes with a very fantastic drink that helps you regulate your blood sugar and helps you get into shape and also helps you to have a better immune system. A lot of people with immune problems, and I mean, they're getting over something, or they just want to keep their health dialed in and tuned up all the time so they can avoid getting sick, are taking this product, and they take it religiously. I mean, they stand by this product. So make sure you get it, and you can get 25% off with the code KATE, and make sure that you're taking advantage of it right now. It really is that good. I wouldn't be telling you about it if I didn't take it myself and my husband, and we didn't love it, I wouldn't be talking about it. Balance of Nature. Put in the code KATE, though, K-A-T-E, and you'll get that savings, that additional savings. Happy Constitution Day to you, and this is a day that I mean, I've heard different fire departments and all kinds of different things are ringing bells, or they have some sort of something. You know, this should be the biggest celebration of our land. It's interesting how we have a whole month for Pride. We have a whole month for LGBTQ and not an entire month for the Constitution, the founding document that made us unlike anyone else in the world, that set forth what we now know as a republic in which the people actually have the say-so. You wouldn't believe that when you visit America today. But yes, that still is the law of the land.
It still is, and we can easily look back through our history and see when we cease to follow it.
So true. It's so true. And so I want to talk just a little bit about that. And this was kind of interesting to me. During the week of 1721, there was a patriot that was born. He was born in Virginia. And this man was not inclined to support the American cause of independence at first. There were a lot of people like this. They did not want the trouble. They did not want to really fight for that because it was a cause they had to join, right? And but he did. He joined the cause and he never looked back. And the history books never talk about Edmund Pendleton. Well, who was he? He was born in rural Virginia to a family of very modest means. He suffered a few setbacks early on. His father died when he was born. Pendleton did not receive much in the way of a formal education. And he obtained an apprenticeship with a court clerk when he was a teenager. And then he began climbing the ladder in the legal world. And when he was about 20, he passed the Virginia bar, 20 years old. Have you met 20-year-olds today? And was practicing as a lawyer. And, you know, he saw the opportunity of America. He grabbed it. How very American of him early on. So Pendleton became a skilled lawyer. He was the ablest man in a debate that I ever met with. And that was said by Thomas Jefferson. He said he was the ablest man in debate that he had ever met with, and he was soon serving his community in a lot of ways. He was a justice of the peace, a member of the Virginia House of Burgesses. He was a member of the First Continental Congress, and once on the stage of Virginia public life, Pendleton never left it. He attained every single office he aspired to, never lost an election. He didn't immediately see the need for independence, though. And he actually feared that violent, fiery sentiments were going to plunge us into all of these rash measures. And he changed his mind by 1776. He was really supportive of the move to independence. In fact, he was president of the Virginia Convention when that body directed the representatives to, you know, present as a resolution calling for independence. So Pendleton's known for continued public service before and after the Revolution. He helped write new laws for Virginia state government. He helped to establish an independent judiciary. He served as the president of the Virginia Ratifying Convention and on the Court of Appeals. And then after the new United States government was established, Pendleton became worried about how some of the aspects of the Constitution were playing out that early on. Right. And, you know, it's funny to think back because I think a lot of people go, oh, it went swimmingly after they put in a constitution. Not so. In 1801, he published a piece entitled The Danger Not Over, warning readers about the changes that needed to be made if America was going to maintain her liberty. And this was clear back during that time. Can you imagine 1801? Wow.
No, it's never been a picnic.
It hasn't since the ink was dry.
Liberty is not something that just happens. It's a constant effort.
It is. And here he was writing about it, and he was saying, if you want to remain free, you better listen up. That's how serious they were about watching what was already taking place right after the ink was drying.
Yep.
So he said this. He said, much mischief may be done under an unwise administration, or that even the most valuable parts of the Constitution may be evaded or violated. And he proposed a few amendments, such as the presidential term limits, subjecting senators to removal by their constituents, and forming some check upon the abuse of public credit, which, though in some instances useful, like fleets and armies, may, like those, be carried to extremes, dangerous to liberty and inconsistent with an economical government. Wow, so prophetic. And so a lot of his suggestions were never taken, although presidential term limits were implemented in the mid-1900s. Pendleton passed away not too long after that in 1803, but I mean clear up until when he was just about to leave this world, he was fighting for the Constitution. And I thought that was kind of interesting when you look back in that time and we don't think of it like that.
No.
And it's not even under attack like it is right now.
And it's a shame that we no longer teach this history.
I know.
Now, for those of you who do want to learn this history, I can only recommend Chris Ann Hall's site.
She's fantastic.
It's an awesome site to learn this history that you're talking about right now.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, you have Benjamin Franklin. This is what Benjamin Franklin said, and I thought this was really neat. He said, after weeks of the effort of penning these documents, he said, the small progress we have made after 4 or 5 weeks is melancholy proof of the imperfections of human understanding. I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs the affairs of men. And he cited the Bible, and he said, if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? He said, we've been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. And I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in building in a political building no better than the builders of Babel. That was Benjamin Franklin. And it's true. When we talk about the swamp, you know, we do so jokingly a lot and we say, you know, it's the swamp. It truly is a swamp for a reason, and it's because we've been building the federal government, the powers of the federal government, so big that we need to be really aware that as a public have allowed that to happen, The swamp is a swamp for a reason, and that's because a long time ago they stopped remembering what their powers were, and they started implementing all the powers that they wanted. And then the people started saying, we want even more. We want to be taken care of. We want you to decide things for us. If we were a nation of people that believed in a little bit more self-governance, can you imagine? Can you imagine? We wouldn't be talking about it or referring to it as a swamp all the time.
That's right.
When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the Militia Act, because a lot of people don't understand what that was all about. But I do think that we're missing this. We are surely missing this in our society. We don't understand this. We have a lot of secretive things going on. We have no transparency. We have a lot of issues at hand that are affecting our daily life. If we truly understood what the Constitution meant, then I think that the people would get a little bit more empowered to fight for self-governance and also accountability. I really do. We just have to get there somehow, some way. I believe it can happen. But I look around the country, don't you, Uncle Milty? And aren't you kind of surprised that we don't have a bigger thing on the Constitution in our schools and what have you?
I am very surprised, but I also... I do worry that unless we get something done here pretty quick, it'll be too difficult to get back.
Yeah, yeah. Because what they've done is, instead of just violating the Constitution, they have taught people a different meaning of the Constitution.
Yeah.
And they have, abused it so in that the people are so brainwashed into thinking that all these new revelations about the Constitution exist and how the government should be. They've convinced people.
Most of the violations, when we talk about violations mm-hmm. of the Constitution, most of them involve government getting involved in social issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's where most of the problem is.
Yep. And our youth don't know the difference. You know, they use the word democracy so much that the youth don't realize we're a republic. And nobody corrects it. Nobody corrects it.
Never.
We talk about it a lot. It is given in speeches a lot as a democracy. Oh, the only democracy we have is the voting in of the representation of the republic. It's a republic. A democracy can cause so much damage.
And when the young people hear that, when they look up democracy mm-hmm. in the dictionary, what it tells them is, if you're in the majority, you can tell everybody else what to do.
Yeah. We have a lot of manipulative groups. We have a lot of people that want more rights than others. We have all kinds of situations going on in America that are affecting our daily life. And we got to get this one thing straight, and that is the understanding behind why the Constitution was written the way it was written. If we can get behind that and we can understand why it was written the way it was written, then we have a chance. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Balance of Nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
I really haven't been sick. People in my house come down with whatever's going around, but it passes me by, and I just take a couple of more, just in case. But I really haven't been sick since I started taking them, you know. And my energy level is a lot better. I'm walking around, and I can do 5 miles a day. Oh, I'll tell you, I'm a firm believer in it. You know, don't mess with success.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Receive 25% off your first preferred purchase of Balance of Nature. Plus, get a set of convenient travel bottles containing a free additional week's supply of Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies. With these discounts, you will still receive free shipping on every order. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
White with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Love it. Kate Smith. Remember the PC war on Kate Smith a little while back? That's why we play it proudly. I hate that kind of, hate being bullied into playing something or not playing something in that case. Give me a break. She did a great rendition back in the day. So that was actress Kate Smith. Anyway, singer Kate Smith, welcome back to the show. And I'm glad that you're tuning in. It's Constitution Day. And this show likes to talk about the Constitution a lot because we have such a bad understanding of it in general, I think. Don't you think?
Yeah, to say the least.
To say the least. It probably stems from a lot of our issues, I would guess.
I think it's because people are, number one, they're taught to be afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody really pushes or impresses on them the resources that are available to help you understand why the Constitution says what it says.
Yeah, and we were talking in the previous hour about all of the papers that identified that the federal government wasn't supposed to have anything to do with health care, religion, education, criminal court system. I mean, all kinds of things. And they've given themselves all of these powers that they don't have. It'd be like somebody walking into your home and then starting to parent and telling you how to do things. And you're thinking, but you don't even live here. This is how we should actually react to the federal government, but we don't. We sort of take it in stride and think that they should be a part of everything.
As a matter of fact, one of those mm-hmm. powers that they've taken is going on today.
Yeah.
And where they have dragged a private citizen into the House, into mm-hmm. Congress, to interrogate him. Because these committee members mm-hmm. on the Judicial Committee think they have the right to do that.
Yeah.
They don't.
Nope. No, they don't. They really don't. But we don't understand that they don't have those powers. The federal government, you know, hoisted themselves up as this instigator of uniform policies around the country, and then the people haven't stopped it. And so this is why we're at where we are today. This is why you have people on a stage that think the role of president is emperor, because I'm going to get into your health care, what you eat, how you eat healthy. I'm going to get into your education. I'm going to get into all of these things that they have absolutely no place to be. And one of the most misunderstood things also is the right to keep and bear arms. And when it comes up to a debate, and man, don't you just wish that some of these people, oh, yes, we're going to take all their weapons. O'Rourke? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. In the last debate, they finally are playing their hand. Yes, they want to not just infringe the Second Amendment, they want to wipe out the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
And so nobody really understands this about a well-regulated militia and the right to bear and keep arms. And they think it only applies to the National Guard. But they come to this conclusion, and this is from the 10th Amendment Center, by the way. They come to this conclusion based on the first clause of the Second Amendment. It says this: a well-regulated militia being necessary of the security of a free state. But even if that clause limited the right to keep and bear arms to militia members, and it doesn't, those who make the National Guard only argument don't understand what the militia actually was at the time. And there was an article written that kind of summed this up. And this actually came from George Mason during the Virginia Ratifying Convention. So listen up. Mr. Chairman, a worthy member has asked, who are the militia? If they be not the people of this country. And if we are not to be protected from the fate of Germans and Prussians by our own representation, I ask, who are the militia? They consist now of the whole people, except for a few public officers. The whole people. But I cannot say who will be the militia of the future day. And if that paper on the table gets no alteration, the militia of the future day may not consist of all classes, high and low, and rich and poor. Practically speaking, the whole people generally meant all able-bodied white men, right? The point of the militia wasn't a select military force. It wasn't like your SEAL team. It was a defense force made up of just the general population. That way you were represented in numbers because there were so many in relation to how many people were in government, right?
Yeah.
And so, in fact, part of the reason the Second Amendment was even proposed was to ensure that people at large would not be disarmed and replaced by a select militia. It was the whole reason they didn't, they wanted the militia to be made up of people and not some SEAL team.
Yeah.
So I expand, so there's an expansion on this argument, but there's one piece of evidence that further sort of undermines the National Guard only narrative. The Militia Act of 1792 were some of the first bills passed by the first Congress. The Militia Act was passed in May 1792, and it defines militia in a way that supports the broader understanding of the term used by Mason in the ratification debates. And it said, be it enacted by the state and the House of Representation of the Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, that each and every free, able-bodied white male citizen of the respective states, because you have to go back in time and not view things from a 2019 pair of goggles.
Mm-hmm.
When you're reading this, of the respective, because these were the landowners typically at the time, of the respective states resident therein, who is or shall be at the age of 18 or under the age of 45, shall severely and respectively be severally and respectively be enrolled in the militia by the captain or commanding officer of the company whose within bounds such citizens shall reside, and that within 12 months after the passing of this act, and it shall at the time hereafter be the duty of every such captain or commanding officer of a company to enroll every such citizen as aforesaid, and all those who shall from time to time arise at the age of 18 or be in the age of 18. And so every citizen so enrolled and notified shall within 6 months thereafter provide himself a good musket or firelock, a sufficient bayonet and belt, two spare flints and a knapsack and a pouch and a box therein to contain not less than 24 cartridges. Boy, Nancy Pelosi and all those people would just be aghast. Kamala Harris.
24 cartridges.
I know.
Holy moly.
And a powder horn, 20 balls suited to the bore of his rifle and a quarter of a pound of powder, and shall appear so armed. See how he says it? And appear and shall appear so armed, accoutred and provided that when called to exercise or into service, except that when called out on company days to exercise only, he may appear without a knapsack. So to appear loaded, locked and loaded all the time, and that the commissioned officers shall severally be armed with a sword or hanger. And after 5 years of the passing of this act, all muskets with arming the militia as herein required shall be of bores sufficient for balls of the 18th part of a pound. And every citizen so enrolled and providing himself with arms, ammunition and accoutrements required as the aforesaid. So. You know what's interesting is back in the day, did people steal from people, Uncle Milty? Do you think people went into homes to steal from people?
Rarely.
Mm-hmm, but it happened.
It happened, but rarely.
Okay. And so do you notice that it doesn't say anything about just having it there for a robbery? Did people hunt back in the day?
Yeah. Oh, every
yes,
day.
Yes, yes. They hunted
day.
All the
That's
time.
That's how they fed themselves.
It's interesting that it didn't say that this was only for hunting. It didn't say that. It said that they wanted a people that shall appear locked, loaded, and ready to go so that to keep the government in its place. Had nothing to do with hunting. Had nothing to do with somebody coming into your home to take something. And just for self-defense, it had everything to do. And the entire thing was about arming yourself so that you could not be a people that was overrun by its government.
Defend yourself.
Yeah. And yet in this day and age, what is that? The left dialed it down to it's for hunting and it's for self-defense and you can't even have it for that.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
But of course they have no intention of trying to rule us.
Oh, no, not at all. So here's the deal. Pretty much every able-bodied free man was part of the militia, and it required all men between the ages of 18 and 45. And the debate over the militia is a bit overplayed. Preservation of state militias made up of the whole body of the people was certainly part of the impetus that led to the ratification of the Second Amendment. But the right to keep and bear arms wasn't exclusively attached to militia service. It was part of the broader natural right of self-defense. And that the text of the Second Amendment makes it clear that the right to keep and bear arms applied to everybody. So it was about self-defense. It was about defending your family. for anything that came to your door, okay? And it was also about making sure that the government didn't tread on you. That was the whole point. And of course, you're going to use them for hunting. Of course, that was a given. But it was it's ridiculous in this day and age how we try to paint it and put it in a corner. And not some of the people, all of the people. And that's why it was necessary, because the militia virtually included all freemen. And so there's a lot here as far as what we don't understand. Why don't we get this, that it was to even appear this way, so that the government would always know this is the reason we have 1% under 1% gun violence in this country, is because we have gun ownership in this country. So simple.
One of the reasons our youth doesn't get this is because they are so far separated now from totalitarianism. You know, they didn't live through any of that.
Yeah.
They're not aware. They don't believe in some of those stories even that people tell.
I know. Or they're just, you know, they're told to think of it as something in the past. You know, that was for that time
when
people
had
muskets. You know, and it's so funny. They don't go to the why. They just go to dialing in on the type of gun, right? You should have a gun that is the equivalent of what your government has, truly.
Absolutely.
There's no reason that you shouldn't, because that would actually tell you why you have it, right?
And their main argument today is, as Beto said, you shouldn't have military-style weapons. You don't need military style weapons. No, you do.
Yeah.
Because that guy's going to be coming at you with an M16.
Right.
Yeah. Or an M4 or whatever.
And so they don't ever go to the why. They only want to dial in and infringe based on their version of the Second Amendment, on what they think the Second Amendment was for. And to dial it in to say that this was only good in the late 1700s, not good today. It was the whole principle and concept behind a people for the very first time running their government, and how they were going to keep it and how they were going to do it. And so this is why I wanted to go over this again, because when we think of militia now, a lot of people think of these radical groups or the only groups that are, that isn't true. It was supposed to be the embodiment of all people to appear as locked and loaded and ready to go. So you knew you couldn't mess with them.
A people who just freed themselves from a tyrant.
Yes, yes. I mean, that's so important, I think. And so on this Constitution Day, to understand the why, this is why you won't see this very often in public education, is going to the Federalist Papers, the Cox Papers, all the papers describing why they felt it was so important. If people got that understanding, then the Constitution, they could never say it only applied to a certain time, because the whole thing's principles. So the principles of liberty and freedom, the whole entire document is freedom. It's principles. And you won't, if you don't know the why, then you won't understand what a principle is, I guess. Then you won't seek to understand why we had it, why they spent so much time on it. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
By the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright
Oh, I love it. Carrie Underwood, actually. I even hate to interrupt it, but I got to. today is Constitution Day, and I was listening. You know, I'm listening to the lyrics of this song, and the fight that ensued to get this country, our separation from British rule. And here we are living in a time when we live longer. We have ways to communicate we never had before. We have so many abilities and so many gifts at our fingertips. And what have we done with it? What have we done with it? You know, back in the day, these people died early on. They did not live long lives. And, you know, you spent your time doing the things that matter. We were just talking about a guy that was a lawyer by the time he was 20. You know, you had to make those years count. And now that we have more time on our hands and we're able to do all of these things, able to communicate with each other, able to educate. And what are we doing with it all?
Drinking beer.
Drinking beer, watching football, golfing, you know, and it's not to say those things are bad things. It's just how much of our time is preoccupied by those things. And we don't fight anymore for this country. We don't fight for our liberty. We ask the government to come and save us.
We don't put business before pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
That's our problem.
Yeah. And this, you're right. You're right. It's a great thought. And this is the business of the day. And our country's kind of coming apart at the seams because of this, because we haven't adhered to this, to these principles. And now we find ourselves really at this other end of what's going on. You were just talking about NYU, and we have to relay this to you because this is such a typical thing of this day and time right now that we're in, filled with ignorance and emotion. But what was this course at NYU?
So Lauren Dukas, a writer, had a course at NYU entitled The Feminist Journalist.
Oh,
and the students went into this course and started complaining. And they actually ended up filing an official complaint with the university. They said, we are disappointed that the department and NYU as an institution would hire a professor without a syllabus, without classroom management skills. We are disappointed that they hired a professor without a clear course objective. They said we had to band together to teach each other things so we weren't the subject of her wrath.
Oh, my gosh. And this was a feminist teaching, feminist studies.
Right. A feminist class. Mm-hmm. And they took it because of the title. Mm-hmm. And what it turned out to be was this egotistical nutcase who wanted to stand up and tell how great she was and not really teach a thing.
Oh my gosh. First of all, NYU couldn't vet that she didn't have anything.
Apparently not.
And I don't even want to know what that would have even looked like had she constructed it. But because a course like this, you can pretty much get from the title where it's going to go.
Right.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate that ignorance and emotion brought her to NYU to teach this non-course of a course, right? And there are people that signed up for that, wanting to get schooled on feminism.
The students described her course as a waste of 6 weeks. She treated foreign students disrespectfully.
Wow.
I mean, just a piece of work, it sounds
like. Well, you know me. I can't stand the feminism movement because it's done for all the wrong reasons. But it's rage and emotion and an absolute annihilation of the family. So I can't, I'm not for the feminism movement. I can't stand what they do. And what they've become, the political action group that they've become, a lot of political action groups in this day and age. And, you know, I think of the founders and if they could visit this time in history to see what we have done with this, to as everybody's running around saying that the document, the Constitution is open. It's open for reinterpretation every 5 minutes. And that we've elected all these officials that absolutely haven't read it, don't care about it, could care less about it. They care about they care about interest groups, and so that's how they like to govern. Has nothing to do with the Constitution, and everybody's got their little piece, their little cog in the wheel of making this happen that we're living in today. And they did their little, you know, cog in the wheel piece, not thinking that it was going to affect a lot of people what they were doing. And all along the way, we've had all these principles hijacked from the Constitution, and how sad that's been. And I do, you know, the good news is that you can always learn about it. You can always learn about
it. That's right.
There have been so many great pieces. And so can we please read the Federalist and Non-Federalist Papers? Can we please read all the documentation that was written that described why we were doing what we were doing in the Constitution? That'd be great, for starters.
Yeah. In a matter of a couple of months, you can go through the entire Constitution and the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers.
Yes.
It's not that difficult.
And you can learn that the feds started taking over education and religion and health care and the courts and everything else. I mean, now you can be tried twice, right? Statewide and federal-wise.
Sure.
Which is really sad. And a lot of them did that. Extended their power through interstate commerce, blaming everything on interstate commerce so they could take their little piece of the pie. But also the strings attached. The states feel like, you know, the states are taking the strings. They're getting the money from the feds. The feds are taking the money in ways they were never supposed to be involved in. So then they give the money back to the states with strings attached to uphold this federal government. And so even the states don't understand the state's duties, the state's rights, what the states have going for them. So the reason we're bringing this up is there's just so much education to be had on why that's so important. You know, even when it comes to the wall, the state should build their portion of the wall.
Yep.
All of America could get in on that action as far as paying for it. But the state should be paying and putting up their piece of the wall. It's kind of interesting how we never talk about that. We rely on the feds to do it.
Yeah.
And I get self-defense, and I get the, you know, the meaning of that, too. And when I was talking in the last segment, the self-defense, I was talking about self-defense of you and your family, but also the mutual self-defense of the country with the militia, by the way. Go ahead.
I think it's people have to start understanding how independent and sovereign the states are.
Mm-hmm.
And how easy it is for us to say, hold it.
Right.
You are way out of bounds here.
Yeah.
And we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
And what are they going to do? They're not going to go to war with us.
Right. Right. I totally get that. And I think that we just have a problem. We have a big problem with understanding what a principle means and wanting the government to step in every 5 minutes to solve the problems that we could solve ourselves. We could solve them through business. We can solve them ourselves through families and neighborhoods. We want the government to come in. And as long as we're asking, they are very much proudly going and willingly going to come in and solve our problems for us.
Well, that's because for everything that costs a dollar, they can tax us 10.
Yes. Yeah. And so on this Constitution Day, I hope that we educate ourselves. It's kind of like when I was talking about red flags and what that kind of dials down to. Red flag is not about safety. It's about a more sinister control mechanism. It's an infringement on the rights of the people. That's what red flag has always stood for. And they've always done it in the name of safety. But it meant something different even in the 1800s than it does today with what's going on with the Second Amendment. We've got to understand all those things. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Oh, just in time. I was just wondering if you heard what Dana Loesch talked about earlier.
I haven't. I didn't, actually.
The Congress was holding a thing on red flags on Monday, and this one congressman, a Republican from Colorado, inserted into the bill that all known gang members would be put on the red flag list.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats immediately said, well, you might be violating their rights.
Not anyone else, just the gang members.
It's not about crime or violence. It's about controlling people.
Yep. Yeah, you're exactly right.
They've given up
right.
on the cities, inner cities. They could care less what happens there.
That's right.
They want to get them from us because they know we're the ones they got to step over to get their programs through.
Yep, exactly right. Thank you. And both sides of the aisle are for this. They all think they have to do something. And those are the most dangerous words from a politician is, well, we all know, we can all agree that we have to do something. No, they don't have to do anything. They don't have to do anything. Crime is still, gun crime is still under 1%, well under 1%. They don't have to do a thing, and they wouldn't even have to do anything even if it rose a little bit. They would not still have to do anything, but they keep giving themselves that power and then telling everybody that everybody agrees on that notion.
Yeah.
And that's a great manipulative tactic right there. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
I threw the child a cinder block because I felt I should do something.
Thank you. I love it when he calls. It's like it's like Jack Handy thoughts.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah.
No, and you'll notice if you guys start to roll tape on a lot of these politicians, they'll always start there. See, we can all agree. We can all agree.
I hate that.
We have to do something. We have to do something about school violence. Really? Because when the stats, they're using every stat they can without it even being school violence to conjure up those numbers. Mm-hmm. So those numbers are still radically low and it's an invitation for them to come in and manipulate us on the fact that they have to be more present in our lives. The government does.
Almost everything they claim is some sort of a crisis involves less than 1% of the population.
So true. Oh, it's so true. We need to restrict this power. We absolutely have to restrict these powers that they think they have. When I see Congress people that are only elected by a small body of their you know, state, and I see them running around the world trying to deal with foreign powers, they have absolutely no business doing that. I see all of our money going into, not all of it, but a big portion of it going into NGOs, non-governmental agencies out in the world. I see so many abuses of the interstate commerce. I see so many abuses of the federal court system. There's a long laundry list of abuse. And if the people don't call it out, it's not like the government's ever going to give up anything. They've never given something up. That's just not how they work. That's just not how power works. So they only know how to impede. They only know how to extend their power. They don't know how to limit themselves. So that's why the people have got to remind them that they don't have power that they think they do. I oftentimes see them as very busy, busy bodies. Very busy, busy bodies. It's kind of like city councils and state governments, very busy in all the affairs of men. They are not supposed to be in all the affairs of men, but they're very busy. They're very busy. I'd almost prefer that they take up golf to get out of our hair from trying to enact things that affect our daily lives and restrict our freedoms. And they all want to put their name on some sort of piece of something that regulates the people. And it's like this badge of honor. They got their name on a bill, or they get their name on a regulation or a new law. And then they say, I'm contributing. I'm helping the people. Yeah, you're helping us right into slavery. You're not helping us. Stay back. And it's a hard lesson to learn when you have power, isn't it?
Yep.
I don't know that I've ever seen somebody limit themselves. Have you? We're trying to think. Give us an hour.
No, I don't think so.
Nope. So it's really important that the people do it, and that the people have to know what to do. They have to know where the power line exists.
Yeah.
It's kind of like your property line between neighbors. You all know where that line exists. If the neighbor started saying the line was moving, you'd call them out, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
But we don't do it with government. It's kind of interesting. There's room for government. There's a place for it. It's
sure
just not
there
in
is.
Every place of our lives. Be faithful. Be fearless. Thanks, Uncle Melty. You're a true gem.
Thank you.
And full of wisdom is he. Anyway, I feel like an Irish quote. Full of wisdom is he. Everybody have a great night. See you back here tomorrow.